Well, we've all but wrapped up the first couple of months of a new year. Doesn't feel like a new year anymore. And amazing how quickly we just get right back on the treadmill, and it pulls us along in life and all of our schedules and demands and duties and responsibilities and opportunities just kind of pull us along. I love January. I think I said that when we first podcast of the year. I just love January. I love a new year, and that moment is kind of like one of those car air fresheners that the day you put it in, you smell it and it just is amazing and it dominates everything. And then 3 days later you get in and you're like, man, it smells funky in here again. What's going on? Y'all are probably wondering, Jeff, what's going on in your car where it smells funky? It's just an illustration. My point is that new feeling often of the new year that comes to a lot of us in a surge, and we just love that kind of thing. It just fades away because life comes back on you and it's just normal. It's like, yep, the calendar changed, but pretty much everything in my life is still the same. And I don't know. I hope you have a good life. I hope you're enjoying the life that God has given you. You're supposed to be. And if you're not, I would really talk to him about that. Make that a priority. Like, Lord, what do I need to change? Is it my attitude, or do I need to change a venue? Am I missing you in the hard stuff and taking you for granted in the easy stuff? Like, I actually believe that the Lord wants us to enjoy him so much that we can enjoy life even when life hands us unpleasant things. And so, you know, basically wrapping up two out of the 12 months of this year, let me just ask you a question. How many of you are tired? We had a prophetic ministry in our Tuesday night prayer meeting recently, and there was a lady that came forward, and I had given a call for, you know, just we wanted to break depression off of people. I don't always think that that's just emotional. I think a lot of it is demonic activity that attaches itself to normal ups and downs and emotions and things like that, but I do think that the enemy exploits our emotions sometimes to bring us into strongholds of depression. So we gave a call for that. And as we were ministering, there's several of us ministering to, I don't know, about 8 or 10 people. Frankly, all women, which is so interesting to me. Guys, let me just say something real quick. Quick side trail. Guys, stop being so proud that you don't receive ministry. What is it about the daughters of God that are so easily able to receive ministry? And especially when, you know, times of vulnerability, nobody wants to walk forward and come sit on the front row when a call is given, hey, if you're battling depression. But these, I don't know, maybe 10 women came forward. Not a single dude did. And I'm thinking, or maybe, I mean, there were probably 80 people at the prayer meeting. Maybe there were no men that were struggling with that. I kind of doubt it. But anyway, I just thought it was amazing these women came forward. As we were ministering, there were some ladies ministering to them, and I was just speaking words. And I just put my fingers on the forehead of one lady, and I heard the Lord immediately say, she's not depressed, she's just tired. And it was like crystal clear. It's like she's just tired. And sometimes, you know, what we need is not a 50th counseling appointment. We don't need, you know, psychotropic medications, whatever they're prescribing these days. Sometimes we need a nap or a day off or some leisure because we're tired. And sometimes when the body gets tired and the mind just has to press on and there's a detachment from your spirit and the rest of your life you're living, it can feel like depression and you're thinking, oh man, I'm jacked up. I must be under, you know, demonic powers and stuff. Well, sometimes it is the enemy exploiting it, but sometimes, seriously, I'm not even being flippant here. Sometimes you need a nap, a day off, and a good meal. And you know, when Elijah was getting hunted down by Jezebel, he was ready to die. Like, literally, he was telling the Lord, just kill me. I'm done. Nobody cares about me. I've served you. I'm faithful, and you let this happen. And he's moaning to the Lord. And what did the Lord do? The Lord gave Elijah a nap and a meal and then another nap. It's right there. Read it for yourself. And then Elijah, the Bible says, Elijah went in the strength of that for 30 more days. Like, that's all he needed. He didn't need deliverance. He needed some food and a day off. I go through weariness sometimes. I went through a very, very long season. I've had a couple of long seasons of mental and physical weariness, and that can affect the spirit, and it did in those seasons. It took me a while to learn how to combat that, and how to, you know, just make sure I'm intentionally keeping margin in my schedule. I say no to more appointments than I say yes to, and I'm not all that important. But just being around people all the time is not healthy for men and women of God that are leading in the kingdom. You have to be alone with the Lord. And so I take about, 10 appointments a week. And these include some meetings and stuff that I do weekly. But I probably say no to 20 opportunities a week. And it's not because I'm mean or don't like people. It's because I have nothing to offer if all I do is go, 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 go. The tank gets empty, the well gets dry, and I end up speaking or, you know, connecting in flesh. And that's not going to benefit anybody. So this issue of weariness is real. It's so real that Jesus actually spoke some words that became super famous. And he spoke it in the context of ministering to weary people. So in Matthew 11, verse 28, he says, and remember, Jesus is not writing the Bible here. When these became scripture, they got recorded, inscripturated, but he wasn't writing the Bible. He's not writing a story when he's saying this. He's standing in front of a large crowd of people, and he's talking to them as the good shepherd, as God, as the divine healer, the counselor, the provider, the protector, the one who loves them more than they could possibly fathom. So to us, it's a Bible verse. It's a record of what he said, but just put yourself right there in the place of those people that were hearing him that day. They're most, for the most part, poor, working hard, living under both Roman oppression and also religious oppression. Enough was never enough. They're not, most of them were not high rollers. So they're hand to mouth, living in a agricultural society where if the crops don't come in, everybody's going to get really skinny. And if the crops don't come in, they can't pay their debts. So their stuff gets seized. So it's a very heavy generation where Jesus entered. And he's looking on the crowd that day. And this is what he says in Matthew 11, 28. He says, come to me. Come to me, all you who are laboring and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And then he adds this, take my yoke on you. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, those are famous words from Jesus, and many of us, probably all of you that are listening that have heard those words, have been comforted and reassured at times. But I think that we're missing that he's actually instructing us, and he's attaching the instructions to a positive consequence if we obey. And so when I'm looking at this, I have to discipline myself not to have a nostalgic or just some kind of superficial comforting response to what Jesus is saying. I have to recognize he's instructing me for my own good. I ought to listen to him. And he's talking to people that he describes as laboring. They're tired. They are weary. Why? Because they are under a heavy load. He says, all of you that are laboring under a heavy load, come to me. I want you to come to me so that I can give you rest. Now, I don't know about you, but when I go through seasons of weariness, I need to figure out something to counteract it, because life doesn't stop. I remember when Landon was about 15, Landon is my son, he's a grown man now, but when he was about, he's probably about 16, and he said, he would use this phrase, grind, don't stop, Dad. Grind, don't stop. I'm like, I'm clearly aged out and have no idea what that means, and what I found out is he was referring to his incessant commitment to practice basketball and to be in the gym. Grind, don't stop. Well, here, at the risk of proving I'm an old man and maybe sounding ridiculous, in life, grind don't stop. You got to pay the bills. You got to feed the kids. You got to do the church work. You got to do the 40 hours, 50 hours, 60 hours a week work. You got to cut the grass. You got to clean the house. You got to get the meals done. You got to pay the bills. You got to go see family. You got to do this. And like the got to's, the have to's just start piling up. Why? Grind don't stop. Amen, Landon. Well, Jesus says, hey, for you that have become painfully aware that the grind don't stop and you're laboring and you're heavy laden, here's how you counteract it. I want you to come to me so I can give you rest. Now look at the promise. I'm going to give you rest. He doesn't qualify what kind of rest you're going to get because he means I'll rest every part of the dynamic of who you are. I will rest you in your spirit. I'll give you rest in your mind. I'm going to bring rest to your emotions. You'll find my rest in your conflicts with other people. Yes, I'll provide you wisdom to know how to make rest for your body. I'll give you rest when the enemy is attacking in spiritual warfare. I'm going to give you rest in your relationships, some of which are very difficult. He says, but you have to come to me. The thing that I think Christians, depending on your flavor of Christianity, some people think everything's a zap from heaven. I'm going to pray for something, zap, God gets me. I need an anointing, zap, there it comes. I need some extra income, zap, there it is. And we live in the world of the zap, which is mostly fabled, because I found that most of Christianity comes through a partnership with me responding to God's divine offers and promises, and me obediently saying, I will trust you. I will believe you. So I believe Jesus gives me rest for my spirit, mind, emotions, rest for my body, rest in the warfare, rest in my relationship. I believe he'll do that, but not if I don't come to him. And for you and I, listen, Jesus, the day he was preaching this, he's telling people, come to me, and they're right there in his physical presence. So it had an added element. They may not have understood, you know, how to come to him, but they're looking at him and hearing the tenor of his voice. So it was a physical thing. It was a natural right in front of them, happening in time and space right before their eyes. For me and you, it's faith. We come to Jesus by faith. And sometimes when you're weary, the last thing you feel like you have the ability to do is press into the Lord. Because when you get fatigued and you get weary and you get oversaddled with burdens and have-tos, You get to a place where your faith takes a hit. You're like, man, that's not going to help. I mean, I'm already praying. I did my quiet time. I went to church four times last month. You know, I'm tithing. I'm giving. I'm doing my stuff. I'm doing it. I am coming to you, Lord. And I'm still weary. And the offer is not primarily come to me by fulfilling duties. The offer is come to me with all of your heaviness. I know how to handle that. And an exchange happens. That's the part we need to see. Jesus doesn't promise to make the heavy stuff go away. It's never promised. What he promises is that he will work in such a supernatural way by getting under that weight with us that the burden feels lighter. He says, if you come to me in your heaviness and your laboring, I'm going to give you rest. But he gives a second instruction. The first one is come to me. The second one is take my yoke upon you. So that yoke was an agricultural device. It was a piece of wood that was modified to fit across the back of, let's just say, two oxen. And so one ox would be underneath the left side. The other ox would be underneath the right side. Together, their strength would pull a plow and a plowman often behind them. So it's harnessed. The yoke is harnessed to the plow. And the plowman steers the plow, but the oxen carry the weight of the whole thing, both the yoke and the plow and the plowman, if he's happened to be standing on it. And so Jesus says, I want you to take my yoke. Now, the picture in your mind could be that he's going to take the yoke that's on you, that you're carrying alone, off of you, and he's just going to give you a lighter yoke. That's not what he's teaching. What he's saying is, I'm under the yoke. Get up under here with me. take my yoke, the one I'm carrying, upon you, and you're going to find that it's lighter. And here's the thing. It's usually not a change of circumstances or demand on your life. It's a partnership. What he's saying is you are plowing alone. There's a disconnect from me and you. My strength is not operating in this current season in your life. I'm inviting you to let me share that yoke. I'm perfectly able to carry it. Matter of fact, I've already got your yoke on my back. Why don't you come out from under that yoke you've been carrying alone and get under this yoke with me, and together we'll carry all that stuff you've been carrying alone. So in essence, he's saying, hey, you can plow alone or you can plow with me. I suggest you come unto me because you are laboring and you are really burdened heavily. Jesus does the heavy lifting, friends. It's not that the work is easy. It's just that it's shared. It's not that your circumstances become immediately, miraculously, zap, and they're all different and life is easy. Nope, that's usually not the way it works. Can that happen? Sure. That's not usually the way it happens. Because Jesus isn't interested in being a glorified bellhop who, every time you ring the front desk, he comes and brings you whatever you want and then disappears till you need him again. That's not what he died and rose for. He actually wants to partner with you. And most of us don't come out of the spiritual womb at our second birth knowing precisely how to partner with Jesus. We have to learn it. And part of the learning is, man, I am so weary. I am so tired. I am burning the candle at both ends. I am grind, don't stopping. Terrible grammar. I am going hard after this. My attitude was right when I started. My motivation is still pure. But man, I'm not doing this. This is not what God has for me. And Jesus is like, that's right, because you're doing it. You're doing it for me. And there really is a difference between doing it for me and doing it with me. So why don't you take my yoke on you? And again, coming unto him, you do that by faith. Taking his yoke, you do it by faith. I'm not here to give you a 1, 2, 3 step figuring that out. What I love doing is putting this reality in front of people and saying, in the pressing into him to find out what all it means, that is going to be the exchange that happens where you come out from under that solo act of doing life for him into that koinonia partnership fellowship with doing life with him. And listen, it's like learning anything else. And by the way, let me just say that, because the next thing he says, so here's the next command. First command is come unto me. Second command is take my yoke upon you. Third command is learn from me. Learn from me. The fact that Jesus attaches this lightening of your load to a learning process from him is significant. What we see there is there's just no magic, you know, syllabus to tell you exactly how to do this thing. It's like, okay, I got to learn how to walk with Jesus. I need to learn how to carry this weight that ain't going away. I need to learn how to carry it, not in my own strength, but to partner with the Lord. Now, some of you are gifted and you're just like childlike, and maybe you're not type A. Maybe you're not like a high level producer or whatever. You're not supposed to be. Like, that's not God's wiring of you. And so you hear a message, a podcast like this, and you're like, yeah, Jeff, just let the Lord carry the burden. But there's a vast majority, maybe not vast, but there's a majority of us in the body of Christ that we take great delight in doing things for the Lord. We like to do things for God. Notice I didn't say with God, because that's the whole point. We've got to learn how to do what we do for him with him. Somebody needs to hear that. You've got to learn how to do what you're doing for him with him. And people that are, you know, very just simple and abiding and trusting and don't live with that, you know, that whatever that is inside of a lot of us that says, I want to do something. He's so worthy. I want to do something that makes him happy with how I'm living out the life that he's given me. Like if you shrug off the need to concern yourself about whether or not your life is pleasing the Lord, if you're hyper grace and you're like, man, he's just pleased with me, man, because the blood covers me, man, and I'm saved by grace, man. It's all on the Lord, man. That's a caricature. It's bad theology too. Grace produces effort. Grace produces works that you were ordained before time that you would walk in them. And so a lot of us, though, go to the other extreme. We're not the, you know, it's all grace, dude. We're the, gotta strive, gotta work, gotta strive, grind, don't stop, gotta make something happen, gotta squeeze out some fruit, gotta squeeze out a little bit more fruit, gotta do this. And that's terrible. And I confess to you, I lived that way a long time. I don't anymore. Because what inevitably happens is the heavy ladenness, the heavy burden, and the weariness gets too heavy. It gets too burdensome. So if you won't answer the calls to come to him, take his yoke upon you, and learn from him, he will let you do it in your own strength until that burden and load you're carrying brings you to your knees, brings you to the ground, crushes you. So he says, learn from me. Guys, you have to learn how to do this. I'm sorry, you're not going to be an expert on how to walk with the Lord immediately after you're saved. You may be 5 years down the road, you're still not an expert. 20 years down the road, you've learned a lot, but you're still not an expert. Why? Because being with Jesus means learning Jesus. You learn his word, you learn his ways, you learn how he works. And that is why you are a disciple. You're a student. You're a pupil. You might be 50 years in the Lord. You're not graduated yet. Most of you know I lead, I help lead at Kineo Ministry Training Center, which is a 4-year Bible college. And the slogan of our school is, you are the steward of your own edification. Like, it's not your pastor, preacher, prophet's job to edify you, like, solely. Like, they can give you the best seed in the world, but if you don't till the soil of your heart and take care of what's planted there, it ain't going to grow. And so you have to be edifying yourself. You have to learn. Some of that is theological learning. You got to learn the Word of God. The Word of God, the Bible, is God's way of saying, I'm going to tell you so much about myself that you'll never even master what I reveal in this book. But in your desire to know me, study this book, and you and I are going to do some amazing things together. And, you know, sometimes I needed help. That's why I've been sitting under preaching for almost 30 years. I'll be saved 30 years in August. And I eat preaching. I eat study. I eat the Word of God. Because it's his revelation of himself. I went to it actually took way more than 6 years, but I ended up with a master's of divinity for theological training. I needed to go that far because of what God had called me to do. But I'm going to tell you something. I didn't do it to get the degree, the paper. I don't even know where the degree is. I have no idea where my actual physical degree is. Have no clue if I still have it. Have no idea where it is because the piece of paper doesn't mean squat. But in the pursuing of that theological degree, I was able to encounter God in multiple years in multiple different ways. Why? I need to learn from Jesus. I need to learn. Some of you might want to take this opportunity, guys, and really consider maybe this is an intentional learning season for you. I don't mind telling you, you can do a 4-year degree on demand at Kineo Ministry Training Center. You can work at your own pace. You got 10 months to finish a year's worth of classes. And you can work when you want to work. There's really no excuses in a digital age why you cannot grow deeper. And whether it's at Kineo Ministry Training Center or Safe Harbor Institute, which is a counseling and a theological training center, and they specialize in warfare and deliverance and Safe Harbor, those students, they actually meet at our church. Their classes are twice a month, long classes, 2 Saturdays a month, and you get trained and equipped, and then you have to do some study and some work outside of those Saturday classes. People are like, well, man, that's just asking a lot. Okay, well, maybe that's the key for you getting out from under the burden and learning how to come to him and learn from him. Maybe there's some stuff you're not going to learn just by doing what you've always done. Maybe that got you to where you are, but it's not going to get you to where you need to be. Maybe you got to learn. Jesus said, come to me, take my yoke upon you, learn from me. And then he says this, because I am gentle and lowly in heart. I think that's a contrast statement. I think these people knew only the leadership of the Pharisees, scribes, and Sadducees, and the high priest and all his cronies, and they were like hardcore perform, 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 perform. Obey these laws, obey these traditions, obey the oral laws and traditions, obey the written laws and traditions. And by the way, check back in because next week we'll probably have some more for you to obey. And they couldn't do it. Jesus told those people, he said, you lay burdens on people that neither you nor your fathers were able to bear. Jesus is like, you can't even pull the own weight you're throwing on other people. That's the nature of religion. Religion will wear you out. Constant performance will wear you out. Jesus says, why don't you get under my yoke? We'll do it together. And as you and I labor side by side for my Father's glory and my Father's kingdom, let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to learn that I'm not like the tight-fisted, clenched-jawed Pharisees, scribes, and Sadducees, and religious people. I'm actually meek and lowly in heart. That's what Jesus says. Jesus says, I'm not some scowling, demanding slave driver. I'm patient. I'm actually kind. I'm compassionate. I'm very helpful. You ever think about that? That Jesus is willing to help you? Like, he's helpful. And he's understanding. He says, that's the yoke you need to be under, and you'll learn this about me. Following Jesus is a learned skill. We don't immediately understand the life of faith, guys. He teaches us as we do it. And as we do it, we find, oh, he's gentle. He's lowly in heart. He's compassionate. He doesn't kick me out from under the yoke when I stumble. He waits, gets back up, and we start walking again. And again, the end of this is that you will find rest for your souls. Remember, that's what he's telling them. He's like, you guys are weary. If Jesus had been alive in the 20th and 21st century, he might have said, you guys are burning out. Y'all are going to get burned out. He says, I don't want that to happen to you. I didn't call you so you'd get burned out. Hey, why don't you know me, you love me, we've met, I saved you, but you've been running all over this field with this heavy yoke on you, and you may not have known, I'm supposed to be under that thing with you. So why don't you turn around, bring that thing to me, come to me, bring that laboring under the heavy burden, and I'm going to give you rest. I'm going to rest your spirit and your mind and your emotions. I'm going to rest you in the middle of conflicts. I'm going to rest your body. I'm going to rest you in warfare and your relationships. So take my yoke upon you. In other words, I'm going to take all the stuff that you've been carrying alone. I'm going to put it under this yoke that I'm carrying. I'm going to leave one side open under the yoke for you. I'm going to transfer your burden to my yoke. And then I'm going to leave this second slot under the yoke open for you. You don't have to carry it by yourself. Take my yoke. With all that stuff you've been carrying, take my yoke on you. I'll help you. And as you do that, you and I are going to walk side by side. You're going to do it by faith. I'm going to do it by covenant and promise. I'm going to teach you about me. You're going to learn from me. And in essence, he's like, you're going to find out how I really am. I'm actually good. I'm actually gentle. I'm actually not a slave-driving taskmaster, boss. I'm gentle and lowly in heart. I want you to know my heart, Jesus says. You know my word. You know my kingdom. You know my expectations, but you've spent so much time knowing that I'm afraid you don't know my heart. I'm not mad. I'm not scowling. I'm not demanding. He says, if you'll come to me and learn from me and take my yoke upon you, you're going to find rest for your soul. Because when you get under my yoke, Jesus says, and I'm going to close here, he says, my yoke's easy. He said that. You know, the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. There are difficulties in the Christian life for sure, but your spirit is not supposed to crumble under the weight of life. And there is an easiness to the yoke of Jesus and a lightness to his burden that when you exchange how you've been doing it for him and learn, that may be the highlight of the podcast. Somebody just needs to hear it. Holy Ghost, get that wherever it needs to go. Somebody needs to turn around and humble themselves and realize, I got some things to learn. I've been doing some of this the wrong way. Jesus, if you're saying your yoke is easy and your burden is light, how come everything I'm under feels hard and heavy when it's supposed to be easy and light? And again, I'm shooting straight with you. It's not about your problems going away. It's not about your circumstances becoming conducive to where life feels like a Caribbean vacation in perpetuity. it literally doesn't mean that everything, you know, I always tell people, it's like, I felt like the message that I heard early on as a Christian coming from hyper-evangelistic people basically said, pray this prayer, ask Jesus in your heart. You're going to have a lot of wealth after that moment. Your skin's going to clear up. Your hair's going to grow back. Your wrinkles are going to go away. You're going to lose 30 pounds, and everybody's going to love you because you've come to Jesus. And such a terribly marketed and packaged gospel didn't serve a generation very well. The fact of the matter is, you're going to carry something. You're going to have a yoke. You're going to have a burden. The difference Jesus is saying is, I hate seeing you weary all the time and struggling all the time and breathless all the time and fatigued all the time and maybe even sick in your body all the time because you never stop. Come to me. I want to give you some rest right here, right now. Come to me. My yoke's easy compared to the way you've been doing it. My burden's light compared to the way you've been doing it. Will you come to me and learn this with me? So for those of you that needed it, will you do that? Will you come to this one who loves you so much? This one who has indeed beautiful plans for you. Not easy. I feel like I constantly have to have this internal debate. Maybe nobody's saying it, but when people hear what they want to hear, and what I'm going to tell you is, comparatively, Jesus's way is easier than your way. Comparatively, Jesus, the burden you carry with him is lighter than the burden you carry for him. It's better when there is an awareness, an intentional partnership by faith with Jesus. And don't let that inner voice say, well, I don't know how to do that. Well, go ahead and confess that and then learn from him. Can you do the first thing? Come to me, Jesus said. Can you do that? What does that look like? It means literally, if you're tired and weary and broken and breathless and worn out and almost burned out, then that's the way you come to him. You say, Lord, I'm dragging myself here into your presence, confessing that I am the guy or the girl that needs to learn how to do this with you. So Lord, here I am coming to you. Teach me. One of the things he'll probably show you as I close is there are a few changes you need to make. You're not going to save the world. The kingdom was doing good without you, and the kingdom will do fine once you're done. And if anything you're doing in the kingdom is squarely dependent on you constantly hitting 100% A-plus level, then you've become a functional savior in that ministry, and he will not share that glory with you. So you're going to have to admit some limitations, and so are the people that look to you. You need to take a day off. You need to turn your phone on, do not disturb. You need to exit anything that brings disharmony to your spirit. Exit it. I'm not talking about your marriage because there's trouble there, or your family. I'm talking about external stuff that you're not in covenant with. And I will give you this deeply wise advice. Deeply sublime, sage-like wisdom here. Take a nap or 10 and eat some food and do nothing. And if that scares you, you may need deliverance. You may not need a podcast. You may need deliverance, because if you won't rest, if you refuse to rest, that would be disobedience. And the Lord will say, let me bring you out of that. Thank you, Jesus, that you give us rest. Thank you, Jesus, that you get under our load with us. Bless the listeners of the podcast today. Awaken them to their own personal sense of need and what to do with what's been shared today. And Lord Jesus, get under my yoke today. Please, Son of God, get up under here with me. You said you would. I welcome you. I don't want to carry this one on my own today. Bless you guys. We'll talk to you next Tuesday. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of Mavericks and Misfits. If you were helped by what Jeff shared today, please take a moment to rate and review Mavericks and Misfits with Jeff Lyle on iTunes or Spotify. Your review helps us enlarge our digital footprint to reach more potential listeners every week. Also, please take advantage of the free written and video resources made available at transformingtruth.org. Join us again every Tuesday for a brand new episode of Mavericks and Misfits.